present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Clement Freud, and Derek Nimmo in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And alas, this is going to be the last show in our present series. And we have our four regulars who are going to compete and bring this series to the climax I'm sure that they can achieve. And once again, I will ask them to speak, if they can, on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that, as usual, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. And we'll begin the show with Derek Nimmo. Derek, the subject is things of mine refused by garbage collectors. You want to make a note of it? All right. So that's the subject to start this last show in the series, and you have 60 seconds beginning now.
I rather like having subjects like the things of mine refused by garbage collectors, because you are allowed to repeat that line, the things of mine refused by garbage collectors, and if you get a long question like this, it occupies most of the minutes you're trying to speak. Now, some of the things of mine that have been refused by garbage collectors include an old crow's nest, garden refuse, cartwheels, rabbit hutches.
Clement Freud, chance.
Hesitation.
Hesitation. It was a good try, but entirely unfounded.
Who wants it, Clement?
And Derek, you keep the subject, and you have 37 seconds starting now.
One of the things of mine that was refused by garbage collectors was an old pair of knickers that had once belonged to Mrs. Nicholas Parsons that I'd been given for Christmas in 1952. And quite rightly, when they came round, they absolutely were totally adamant and refused to take this away. I complained to the council about it, but...
This is disgraceful.
It's disgraceful.
I happen to know the lady in question. She wouldn't give him an old pair of hers anyway. I think the whole thing is devious.
Kenneth, I agree about the deviation, and you have a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject of things of mine refused by garbage collectors. 19 seconds starting now.
Nobody in England could have had anything refused by garbage collectors, because they're not called that over here. In fact, it's a mistake to have it on the card at all. But I did have trouble in getting rid of a bedstead. I pointed out that it could have been refurbished, made very nice, you know, polished up, and I said, you can make a bob of it.
When El Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. It was, of course, Kenneth Williams, and I think you probably worked out he's in the lead at the end of the round. Clement, will you take the next round, the subject, the cocktail? Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
In the country, in the long winter afternoons, hens gather around to listen to the cocktail. All sorts of chickens of all varieties meet and sit and perch on straw and hay and corn. And along comes the male of the species and says...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
The deviation, he said it was winter and they couldn't be sitting on the corn in the winter.
Hmm. Why not?
Well, it wouldn't be growing, would it?
Well, the corn could have been thrown on the ground by the farmer feed them.
Oh, all right, yes.
I mean... He's not technically deviating, though it was a good attempt. Clement, with 41 seconds on the cocktail, starting now.
You can also mix almost any quantity of drink, whether it be spirituous, vinous, or reinforced. And the resultant liquor poured into a glass, cooled, sometimes with froth added, is known as a cocktail. And many barmen in hotels and restaurants throughout the world have reached fame and fortune by inventing their own concoction, Campari, vermouth, Romanoff, cherry, and peanut have all become part of such delicate beverages.
Peter Jones challenged.
Peanut hasn't.
I don't know. No, I quite agree. Peanut cocktail, I quite agree, I think.
Oh, yes, it is.
Is that
peanut colada?
Yeah, good.
Really?
Peanut colada. So, I agree with your challenge, Peter. You have 6 seconds on the cocktail, starting now.
I think by far the best cocktail is the dry martini. That is 4 parts of gin, or possibly vodka.
Well, Peter Jones is speaking at the whistle when he gained the extra point, and now he's equal in the lead with Kenneth Williams. And Peter, will you begin the next round? The subject, losing money in a telephone box. Starting now.
Well, it's one of the most frustrating...
frustrating ways of losing money that I know. Because unless you write to the people or they take your name and address of the operator, then you can't get the money back. And this does seem to be very unfair. Now, if...
Kenneth Williams, Charles.
Deviation is telling the audience, same thing's Charles, if you're not true, you simply get the operator and say that you've lost your money, she gets you the call free. I mean, it's rubbish to say...
Yeah, but you can't actually get your money back. That's what he said. You can't
get your money back. You want your call, don't you?
Yes, but you may not get your call, and then you still can't get your money back.
Well, anyway, I stabbed the subject. He was very dreary about it, and I think that's
fine. No, Peter, I don't think he was actually deviating, so, Peter...
Well, I admit to being dreary, but that's never been any hindrance on this game. As Kenneth Williams has proved time and again.
Peter, you still have the subject, and there are 43 seconds on losing money in the telephone box starting now.
There are some people whose only source of income is going
round... Clement Freud, Charles.
Representative of people.
Yes, I'm afraid you mentioned people before.
Oh, I did, yes.
So, Clement, you have the subject with 41 seconds on losing money in a telephone box starting now.
The very easiest way to lose money in a telephone box is to have a hole in your pocket and a crack in the floor of the aforementioned telephone box. That way you will never get it back. And 10p pieces as well as...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
What kind of advice is this from one of from a member of parliament is advising us how best we can lose money? I think it's dangerous.
So what is your challenge?
Deviation.
Deviation.
Yes,
he's right.
But
he
still
wasn't
deviating from the subject. So, Clement, you still have the subject with 27 seconds, starting now.
I knew of a woman who was so determined not to lose money in a phone box that she had coins from all sorts of foreign countries, which she bombarded into the slots which were provided for that purpose. And when the operator said, "Will you now put your cash into the allocated portion of the machinery," she started bombarding.
Kenneth Chalice.
Well, we had the bombarding before.
We had bombarded, not bombarding.
In any case, there were an awful lot of repetitions and an awful lot of rubbish was talked. I mean, I just...
an awful lot of wriggling out of tight situations. No,
yeah.
You're right, actually, he did say bombarded and now he's saying bombarding.
Mm, that's right.
Yes, oh dear, he's very...
So it's really a repetition of bombard.
Exactly. That's right, yes. This is the whole word in just a minute, I'm afraid.
I know it is, yes.
Three seconds.
2 out of 3 is not bad.
3 seconds with you, Clement, starting now.
I shall write to the authorities and inform them of the fact.
Well, Clement Freud was speaking on that occasion as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and he has now taken the lead. Derek Nimmo, your turn to begin the subject, Citizens Band Radio. Can you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Well, I can tell you very little about Citizen Band Radio because I'm not very interested. And I think it's an extraordinarily boring idea. Why should you want to converse with other people in neighbouring motor cars when you're driving along a highway? It seems to be totally pointless. And they call each other with names like Rubber Duck and Nelly Welly and things. And you have to pay money to join this thing. Now that it's licensed, of course, nobody's interested anymore. When it was illegal, there's a certain danger and excitement about it. And that's why people, presumably, had this Citizen Band Radio. But... goodness gracious,
Peter Jones challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, I'm afraid there was. He was going at such a pace. He was doing magnificent. I don't know how you're going to keep it up, Derek.
Well, I would have done it and buzzed me.
Peter, you have a correct challenge. 33 seconds are left for Citizens Band Radio starting now.
Well, I agree with Derek Nimmo that it is an unnecessary addition to one's list of electronic gadgets. And I think, like the electric carving knife, the toothbrush, and other things...
Derek Nimmo, Charles.
No, I think an electric carving knife is absolutely essential.
I don't mind what you think. He wasn't deviating from the subject.
Ah, right, never mind.
It's not if you're a vegetarian, as I am. Quite unnecessary.
No, he's entitled
can
to...
can use it in upholstery, I understand, but... I don't do any of that either.
He's entitled to express an opinion without deviating. So, Peter, you still have the subject and there are 21 seconds. Citizens Band Radio starting now. Kenneth, you have the subject. There are 19 seconds on Citizens Band Radio starting now.
Clement Freud is probably much better equipped to discuss this subject than I am, since he was in the house which made the thing legal. Now, I think Nimmo is right.
Peter Jones challenge.
I think he admits that Clement Freud is better equipped, I think he should hand the subject over to it.
If I may say, the subject is not Clement Freud's equipment. It is Citizen Stan's radio.
I know, he is boring, and he can pass it on.
Well, he wasn't deviating from the subject in the card. He can express his opinion about Clement Freud as you were on the electric carving knife. So, Kenneth, I leave it with you, and there are still 7 seconds. Citizen Stan Radio starting now.
Derek and...
Derek Nimmo.
He said Derek Nimmo twice. Said Derek.
I didn't say Derek Nimmo.
Oh, right.
Well, your ears out, mate.
No, it's much better if he doesn't, because then you get more points for incorrect challenges.
Precisely. Right.
Kenneth, you still have the subject, another point. 6 seconds, Citizens Band Radio starting now.
My dear friend opposite, who was in the amorous prawl, and of course Peter, have already...
Clement Freud,
sir. Repetition of course.
I don't remember him saying
that. No, I never said that.
He always says it.
He always puts that in because he thinks that he'll always get away with it.
Yes.
Right.
I had no notice of it, Nicholas.
I don't think you said it in this round.
Yeah, he has said it many times before.
I'd quite like to talk about CB radio. Nevertheless.
Well, let's Kenneth finish the subject. 1.5 seconds. You couldn't say much in 1.5 seconds about it.
Yes.
Kenneth, 1.5 seconds ago, starting now.
Well, it's the MPs that made it all right.
So what did you want to say, Clement?
I shan't just give it away like that.
Right. Well, what I will give away is the fact that Kenneth Williams not only got the point for speaking as the whistle went, but he gained a number of points in that round, and he has leapt into the lead. Which pleases him and the audience, and this next subject is a bad practical joke. Clement Freud, it's your turn. There are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The scenario for a really bad practical joke would include a chicken, a duck, turkey, parrot, cow, horse, dog, cart, and 14 characters which I shall describe as the...
Very Nimmo, John.
We failed to describe.
Yes, failed. So a pause, so 42 seconds for you, Derek, on a bad practical joke, starting now.
I was concerned with what turned out to be really a rather bad practical joke. We were doing Blythe Spirit of Play by Neil Card in Hong Kong, and we decided to go to an island called Lantau for the day. Now, a chum of mine, or rather my son, was a speed of police inspector on this island, and when we arrived, I'd arranged with him that he would come and arrest...
Kenneth Williams, son.
To Ireland.
No.
Island, twice.
No, he said, I arranged.
No, he said, island. Went to an island, and then he said again about the policeman on this island. So
yes.
Which said twice.
You have the subject of a bad practical joke. There are 25 seconds starting now.
This actually happened. A friend of mine went into Portland and Mason, asked for a very expensive box of chocolates, then said to the assistant, now squash them all. And he said, but why, sir?
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
It's rather good practical joke.
I think it's a horrible practical joke. Terrible, don't you?
Can I get on?
Yes. Very bad practical joke. There are 13 seconds for a bad practical joke, Kenneth, starting now.
When the assistant questioned this...
Clement Freud.
Repetition of assistant.
But yes. I couldn't because I said... In the other one I said, why, sir? And he left me no alternative.
I know, but
I'd like to hear what happened. That's what I did.
Well, the assistant... But the assistant said, why do you want to squash? He said, because I'm taking my girls to the pictures, and in the dark she'll say, what's soft centres and what's hard centres? And if they're all squash, you'll know anyway, won't you?
Very good. So, thank you for the joke, Kenneth.
It wasn't a joke. It's true, Tommy Steele did it.
Well, it was still very funny.
Of course it was. That's why it's Tommy Steele.
But Clement Freud had a correct challenge previous to that with 11 seconds on a bad practical joke starting now.
You wait until you see some Irish labourers digging up Piccadilly and go to the police station and say, excuse me, but there are from the Emerald Isle across the channel some gentlemen who are using spade and shovel with which to disturb the macadam on the pavement of a main thoroughfare of the metropolitan city of London.
Deviation, you never have macadam on a pavement.
Oh, that's a good thing. Yeah. That's
But actually, we'd gone past the 60 seconds because I wanted Clement to finish. I thought it was a bad practical joke. He just turned out to be a boring old story, didn't it? So actually, to be perfectly fair, he had gone beyond the 60 seconds. I thought we were going to get to his payoff.
But how are we supposed to know if you don't blow the whistle?
You're not.
Am I losing a point because I made an incorrect challenge?
No, you haven't made an incorrect challenge, but you made it after the 60 seconds. So, Clement Freud, blow the whistle now, Ian, and then we know the whistle has gone. It should have gone about 5 seconds ago. Clement gets the point speaking when the whistle should have gone, and we move on to
I always think a really bad practical joke is that one of Barry Humphreys who opens tins of cold vegetable salad, puts them on aeroplanes into the sick bag in front of him, then eats it out with a spoon. I would have to ask.
Most of our audience have either gone home or looking for the bags in front of the seats. At the end of that round, Derek Nimmo, for once, is trailing in fourth place, 1 point behind Peter Jones, a little way behind Clement Freud, and in a very definite lead in this last show in the present series is Kenneth Williams. Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the Rubik Cube. Can you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Well, I think this, in a way, is a bad practical joke because it's got everybody going and baffling people all over the place. It's made a fortune, of course, from the man who invented it. And I understand...
Kenneth Williams, child.
What is his grammar? It made a fortune from the man that invented it. What do you talk about? You mean for the man, don't you?
For, I said, didn't I?
No, you said from.
You intended to say for, and it came out... It wasn't quite for, but, you know, if we don't allow a little bit of grammatical...
Well, would you do that impression again, Nicholas? I rather enjoyed that.
Well, I'm on your side, Peter. Don't push your luck too hard.
You're on my side?
Yes. So I've got to give you the benefit of the doubt, Peter, because you've got to keep going somehow in this game. And you still have the subject, another point. And there are 48 seconds starting now.
And I believe that he's working on something similar to follow it up. Now, if I had made many millions of pounds by producing something that people bought in every country...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of something.
Yes, I'm afraid you did,
oh,
Peter.
Yes.
So Clement has the subject with 37 seconds on the Rubik Cube starting now.
What you really need to solve the Rubik Cube is an enormously fast wrist action. I saw on television not very long ago the Rubik Cube World Championship, won inevitably by someone aged 15 who simply was double jointed in both arms and probably hadn't got a brain in his head, which is what is required for solutions of this order.
Kenneth Williams, chance.
Deviation, he said. He probably hadn't got a brain in his head. It's ridiculous. All human beings got a brain in their head. It's a ludicrous thing to say. Deviation is wrong. Had our listeners believed that people couldn't have a brain in their head?
Well, he didn't actually want to say that. He was using a phrase which conveys that he was very agile with his hands, but wasn't particularly intelligent.
Well, he's a terrible slur. How do you
know? Oh, terrible slur.
What a disgusting thing to say, Nick. I saw this program in question. I thought he was a particularly intelligent youth.
So did I. Exactly.
You to
that's
say
the
that
point.
But that wasn't your challenge.
But
your,
yes, what you said was, I think you ought to clear this up.
Your challenge was that every human being has got a brain in their
head. I think I'm right.
No wonder they're not bringing Just a Minute back again, I can tell you. And the chairman can say things like that.
Yes.
And get away with it.
No, I think he wasn't deviating. He was using a phrase that you might have used yourself at any time. So, Clement, you still have the subject with 13 seconds. The Rubik Cube starting now.
Red, white, yellow, green, black, brown, orange.
Deviation, these are just lists of colours. It's nothing to do with the Rubik Cube. Just listing colours. I'm not talking about the cube at all. Anyone could do that. Talk about the rainbow. Say red, white, pink, blue, it's rubbish.
Yes, but you couldn't go on for a minute.
Just hanged it out in order to gain the last few seconds and win.
If it said, I agree, Kenny.
I don't worry about marks. I just come in and...
I think...
Mm-hmm. Kenny, I agree with you. If you had said the Rubik Cube consists
precisely,
of...
Precisely.
Instead of just going off on a little...
No, really.
I mean, really, all these things...
colours.
You've got to have these colours. You couldn't do the cube.
Such a rub! He's given his verdict!
He's going
to wake up people like you.
Is there any of the Irish that have an all-white Rubik Cube?
Uh,
I know those are the colours of the Rubik cube, but in this game...
Well, you're talking about the rainbow. Wouldn't you mention the colour Richard of York gave battle in vain? Wouldn't you use that?
I was saying that he should have established it was the Rubik cube that had all these colours, and Kenneth has a good challenge, and he has terrific. 10 seconds on the Rubik cube, starting now.
I am not the authority on the Rubik cube that you would probably wish to hear. Obviously, people like Nemo and young Peter Jones.
Derek Nemo challenge.
Deviation, not young. Not by any.
Peter, do you consider yourself young?
I don't think that's got anything to do with the subject or the game.
Well, I know, but this is the challenge, Peter, that you're not young.
Well, put it to the audience. Is Peter James a Rubik cube?
You did say early on that one was entitled to express an opinion. I know this was Ren's departure
from
previous rulings of the chair, but really there's no reason why William shouldn't think that Jones is young.
No, you see, he was comparing me to himself. And naturally, as one gets older...
All right, I'll let the audience judge. If you consider that that was a nice phraseology as a kind gesture to Peter Jones, then you cheer for Kenneth. And if you consider that it was a deviation because it's not true, then you boo for Peter, and you all do it together now. Kenneth, you have another point, and you have half a second on the Rubik cube starting now.
The Rubik cube.
I must say, it's not the youngest audience I've ever seen.
You should take it as a compliment, Peter, because it was then used as a form of endearment. The audience do not
kind of
consider that you are old, and but it leaves you trailing a lot.
It does.
Derek Lim is trailing behind
you. Unfortunate coincidence. Yes.
But Kenneth Williams is doing magnificently. He's increased his lead again at the end of that round, and he also begins the next round. And it's a lovely subject. It must have thought of tombstone collecting as a hobby. Can you tell us something about tombstone collecting as a hobby, Kenneth, in the game starting now?
There is a town in the United States which is called Tombstone, and there are a number of collectors there, resident, and the things which these people have chosen to hoard are really quite extraordinary. Now, there was a documentary film made about it, and it showed you all these people in the town.
Derek Nimmer,
the position of these people.
Yes.
Why, it's such a petty thing, Derek. I mean, if you're going to do that kind of thing, it makes the game ridiculous. People could do it in and or a so. I mean, it's petty.
Kenneth, it wasn't petty.
Well, you wouldn't think so, because you are.
No, it was a correct challenge, and Derek takes over the subject with 36 seconds on tombstone collecting as a hobby, starting now.
This is something which is given to the collection of
Kenneth Williams. Oh, yes, you're right, Kenneth. 32 seconds, tombstone collecting as a hobby, starting now.
Now, I know people that do this and make...
Clement Freud challenge.
That's people for the third time. Another petty repetition.
No.
But you probably think people are not important.
Clement, by the way, I must tell the listeners, he looked at Kenneth when he said people are not important. He didn't accuse me of that one.
Well, of course, we don't consider you as people.
Gosh, it's the last of the series. It's all coming out, isn't it? So, Clement, I have agreed with you. A correct challenge. 31 seconds. Tombstone collecting as a hobby, starting now.
The only acceptable hobby would be to collect unused tombstones, such as are given or sold to undertakers in order to mark respectfully the graves of people who are deceased, or dead, as I like to call it. There are many persons...
Peter Jones is challenged.
Hesitation. He said,
He didn't.
He did say, but he...
What? He said, didn't he?
He did say, yes.
Isn't that a hesitation?
I don't think he really hesitated, you know, enough.
Well, why did he say, I mean, that is,
If you say you always call that a hesitation. What's the difference between and an
Oh, right. I'll tell you what I'll do. It's the last round of the game. It's the end of this particular series. And we've heard from everybody on the subject.
Series. It is the end of Just a Minute.
Money, isn't it? And it may be the end of our careers, for all we know.
Well, you have, Peter,
Tombstone
you have 13
seconds collecting will become a necessity.
You have 13 seconds to try and put that right. Is on the subject of tombstone collecting as a hobby, starting now.
Yes, it's quite illegal to pick them up from...
I think probably you're going to be challenged for hesitation, Peter.
Yes.
Was that right, Derek?
That was
right,
yes.
So we're going to hear from you on tombstone collecting as a hobby with 9 seconds to go.
I once collected a tombstone, the inscription of which was, "Here lies the grave of Elizabeth Charlotte, born a virgin, died a harlot. She was virtuous, I at 17, a very rare thing in Aberdeen." And I...
So Derek Nimmo brought the round to a close with a flourish, and I think has brought the contest to a close with a real flourish. And now I will flourish it all out by giving you the final score, which is Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones equal in third place, a little way behind Clement Freud, but way out, a very strong and definite leader, and our winner this week, Kenneth Williams. And that was M. Esther saying, keep taking the tablets. From our producer, Pete Etkin, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, we hope you've enjoyed the show, the series, and will want to be with us again when we hope we'll be back on the air playing Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye. The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Etkin.